Whoever's editing can start now.
Do 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 do. Welcome to Dread and Breakfast Acapella Edition. Oh no, there are instruments. We're fucked.
It's no longer acapella. Jacob ruined it. Fuck Jacob.
But for real, welcome to Dread and Breakfast, the breakfast portion of the show. Yay! If you have not listened to the entirety of our Witch in the Woods story, stop right there. Go back and listen to it because spoilers ahoy!
Spoilers
off the port bow
and the starboard.
Spoilers everywhere.
We're surrounded.
There's spoilers on the poop. They're spilling out, Captain.
We're going down. I'm yelling spoilers. Okay.
I made Jacob smile with that joke. That's good.
I was like, yeah, that's funny. Fob found a reason to say poop.
Yeah, it was top tier humor. So if this is your first time joining us for a breakfast episode, welcome. This is where we take you behind the scenes of our poop deck and talk to you about...
We peel back the poop on the poop deck.
Okay, this is now bad.
We're reaching a threshold.
Yep.
But this is where we talk through what it was like running the game, some behind the scenes fun, maybe some bloopers and other miscellaneous bits. Occasionally there have been haunted dolls, but God, I hope not.
Season, and this is this season.
No dolls. I have a strict no doll policy this season.
No promises.
Oh.
Well, let's begin with Hooray Marissa!
Hooray!
Oh, no!
Praise Marissa. No, praise hey, Marissa. Hey, praise
hey,
Marissa.
Hey.
You had a huge task in front of you to run season two's first story.
Oh my God.
Which we have been, let's see, we started brainstorming this season in November of 2022.
Yeah. Fuck.
So it's been a long time coming.
So much.
How do you feel? How did it feel?
Oh boy, howdy. See, like there was one moment in my life where like, we were like messaging about like, yeah, okay, like I think we're ready to start running the season. Who wants to run the first episode? And in the Slack, I typed, I might be able to do it. And none of you said anything. You were just like, yeah. And then I was like, I'm gonna go throw up. Because this was such a hard story to run, to write, to develop. Because as I'm sure... dear listener, you have intuited by now, Witch in the Woods is basically a kind of like a prologue for the season. We are very much beginning at the ending, and the whole season will be seeing Spillman in its various forms, and that's all that I will say at this moment.
We gon' time travel.
Ish! So it was very, very difficult because this story was a lot of me trying to set some groundwork, establish what Spillman is like, throwing a bunch of spaghetti and threads and things at a wall, knowing that they weren't all going to get resolved, nor could they get resolved because that's what the season is for. I'm like, how do I make this beautiful place that we have all like built?
So many sticky notes.
Oh my God. There was like, Jacob, like how many sticky notes did we have on your wall? We had like a sleepover.
Like 5 or 6, I think.
Oh boy.
Yeah,
packages.
Yeah.
I have a picture somewhere. I'll post it on
Instagram. Oh my God, please do. But there was just an insane amount of collaboration on what type of landmark should this place have? What is the vibe? Like who is in this town? And another thing that we did that I think we're going to continue into the future is that on everyone's character sheets for this season, we're also including some world building questions so that the players help to co-author Spillman as we go. I can't remember what questions I gave you guys. I think I asked someone to come up with...
Why don't we pull up the sheets?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Jacob, I asked you to come up with an NPC, which was delightful. He only got a couple cameos, but Arnie the Yarny Guy from Knit Happy...
You that came up with Arnie the Yarny Guy?
Yeah, I did.
Amazing.
Jacob, that's so good.
Say Thank more you. About him.
He sells yarn, and he's a guy. His name is Arnold, Arnie for short. And then you call it Yarny so that it rhymes with Arnie.
It was just very, very delightful and added a lot of like color. It's like, yeah, there's a craft store. Fuck yeah.
I wrote more words, but I don't think any of these actually say anything other than that. You know when you look at a paragraph of text you wrote and you're like, that's a sentence?
Sure do.
Wow, I'm looking at this now and there's a lot of stuff that I didn't incorporate into Spencer. That's the thing. I feel like there's always stuff on the character sheets that, like, when I open my mouth and as we start playing, something slightly different always comes out.
Yes.
Like, I had something on here that my verbal quirk is that I swear in other languages.
I didn't remember that at all.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. And I, like, looked up a bunch of them and I just didn't do it.
Christine, you remember how my thing was I put stuff in my mouth and then I literally never put anything in my mouth.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I forgot to.
That was toast?
Well, yeah, I was going to. Okay, so I was going to lick the foot of the corpse. And
Oh my God.
That feels like maybe that would be poor taste. So
terrible.
Then I didn't do that.
Poor taste?
No.
And then I was like, I don't know when to chomp a thing. So I guess I don't do this now. Oops.
I think that's like part of the fun of role-playing games, though, is that nothing is like created in a vacuum. Like, you can come up with this idea of a character, and once you get in the world and are bouncing off each other's and the bonkers NPCs, things kind of turn out a little bit different, and that's very fun.
Bonkers NPCs, though, Marissa. Say more about
that. You put so many nutters in the world. I sure love it. You always come up with like the wildest characters. It's so fun.
Thank you.
I want to talk about Arthur. I want to talk about Arthur McGuffel.
Sure.
I want to talk to Arthur.
No, he's not here. No.
Is Arthur in the room with us?
Absolutely not.
Are you here? I want to know, like, where were you? What was happening when you were like, I know what to do?
Oh, my God. So I knew there was going to be a lot of, like, lore and like setup and like not only of the town of Spillman itself but also surrounding the witch and surrounding like the immediate lore of the story. And I knew I wanted a character who had been involved in Eloise's tree situation before, and I was like, oh, I love a good cryptic rhyme, like fortune teller. And I was like, well, a cryptic rhyme would be really funny if it's just a dude who just rhymes all the time.
And the fact that he was just like springing around.
Like a jaunty guy.
Which like, as I was writing and like developing like my notes and stuff, I was like, this is really funny. This is delightful. And then we got to playing it and it was so fucking hard. We edited out the 8 times where you asked him a question and I was like, let me think about it. And had to go on a thesaurus for rhymes and figure shit out. Because, like, I had pre-written, like, a couple of, like, generic responses so I could be, like, a little bit quick on the uptake when we were playing in the real, like, time. And I also had pre-written a couple of, like, little lore ones that I knew would probably come up. You didn't ask him about fucking bugs.
I was going to say, I think in the episode you were like, yeah, so I prepped a lot of bug ones. And you guys didn't do that.
No. Nope.
So would you care to read us some of the poems that you have prepped that
Christine, shall we
go to the poetry corner?
Actually, I would love it because I think it would be more funny if instead we went back to 2007 and went to the Arthur McGuffel Mad Libs corner.
Oh, my God.
So I am going to solicit some words from all of you, and I'm going to fill them in as I see fit.
Amazing.
In this shit.
Amazing. What an innovator.
Jacob, give me a noun.
Mad Libs.
Excellent. Fob, give me a noun.
Tongue.
Perfect. Christine, an adjective.
Sticky.
One more noun, Jacob.
Arthur McGuffel.
That's a proper noun.
Yeah.
That's fine.
By definition, a noun.
So here's the first one. Thank you for this gift. This was a bug one.
Wait. Get the bongos.
Oh yeah. Give me some. Hey. Mad Libs, you say? Why, I've seen plenty. Not today, of course, for my tongue's empty. These bugs are quite a sticky thing to be viewed. They are the Arthur McGuffel's favorite food, which is hilarious.
That kind of fits.
That worked.
This is pulling back the curtain a lot. I did have it to where if you went back to Arthur McGupple at the wake scene, he would have been eating the spider. So that's weirdly apropos.
Eating the spider?
Yeah. Oh, did he?
Wait.
We should have talked to Arthur McGupple way more.
The one that Spencer kissed him, and that's why he's so... Oh, my God.
There's reasons for it.
What a little freak. Oh, my God.
Hey, Jacob, give me another noun.
What a little freak.
Shirt.
Bob, give me a noun.
Undergarment.
All right. Give me a verb in ing, Christine.
Flailing.
Perfect. Love it. Jacob, a noun.
Plane of the arrow variety.
Aeroplane. And Bob, one more noun.
Dog.
What the fuck? All right. So this one was in regards to if you asked him about the Harvest Festival at all. Which he did mention, I think, like once, but not in any detail, because, again, y'all had other questions for him. Hang on, I gotta channel Arthur back into my body. It's a whole process.
That's good. Yes.
Terrifying. But, oh, the shirt festival. Woe to you if your undergarment is picked. It's an honor, they say, but flailing the stick might leave you in the same state as me. Airplane open, dog wide, and everything to see.
What was the original?
I think it was like eyes wide, mind open, something to alluding to the fact that maybe
clear
this
heart. What is it? Clear eyes, full hearts can't lose.
And then I do have one other one.
Grand finale.
That is not going to be Mad Libs. I think I'm going to keep it very vague.
Okay.
But in our production meetings, we all pitched very, very broad, very vague concepts for Spillman for the different Dread stories we wanted to run. And so I tried to start leaving little breadcrumbs into Witch in the Woods that then would be like, oh, that's what that is. And this one like just never came up in game. I thought it would be fun to share as a fun nugget for the future.
Nugget zone.
And this would have been something that Arthur had said at the funeral. We just didn't get like a scene.
Okay.
Would this have been something he would have said after chomping down on
a freaky
boy?
Yeah. Funeral, not the wake. He would have said it like at the cemetery.
Gotcha.
Was my thought. So he would have said, "The holes are empty, a grisly affair. All of them gone. Gone, no bones down there. Just empty pits, empty wells. Throw down a coin and wish for hell. Oh dear, it's certainly better than here."
Damn, Versa, you're a straight up bard.
at rhymezone.com, my friend. But yeah, so Arthur was meant as a lore information, can you trust him because he's a little bit bonkers character.
But he was right all along.
Hopefully not.
But he was, though.
Well, I mean, but Arthur wasn't, hopefully isn't right, because hopefully it doesn't end.
Oh, yeah,
where
he did
ends.
Say the world
he
was
going to
end.
He was just like, the world's going to end. And I'm like, well, I mean, I hope he's
I
not
mean,
right.
TBD.
Insofar as his understanding of things that are happening, he is correct. But.
And as we left, the city was like,
yeah.
No, Spillman's great. But, Christy, well, what are you talking about? Good times.
Beautiful,
good time.
Beautiful weather.
Yes.
We're having Spillman.
But we are not done with that point in Spillman's history. We will revisit once we have the context of the other stories throughout the season to see how Witch in the Woods really ends.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's keep going in our list.
Yeah.
Spider. Really fucking normal, right up in the corner. I ain't afraid of no spider. So at one point you were saying that so Spencer caught the spider in the Spillman Manor,
yes,
and did not kill it. And if she had killed it, that there would have been consequences.
Yes,
and I am very curious.
It's hard to say because it didn't happen, you know. But I think how Eloise/the witch would have interacted with you all would have been a little bit different. How she may have revealed herself as the witch might have been a little bit different.
Sorry, I just thought about a couple eating it.
Would have been good. At least in my brain, that would have been a point where whoever did kill the spider, if it was one of the PCs, they would have been the target for the drawing and like Eloise's target. Okay. That didn't really happen because the tower fell and that usurped that, but that would have been a fuck you. Like she would have been more focused. Yes.
Yeah. So is she going to go after McGupple because he ate it?
Who can say the workings of McGupple?
I think she's got more important things to worry about present.
True, true. There is like McGupple and Eloise have, shall we say, history, which maybe we'll get into in a future story of some sort. But
hope so. I hope we're not done with him. I want to see that little freak again.
He might be dead.
He's
I don't know.
My favorite little freak.
I might kill him off just for my own sanity.
Kill him off screen?
No.
That's amazing.
Break my heart. No, he might come back.
It's a horror show, Christine.
But
that's
safe. The thing, you guys, right? Like, it's
don't I know it?
You do.
But how we're structuring the season is really fun. Is that like if we are in a time in Spillman where McGupple may have been alive pre his rhyming phase, maybe he'll make a cameo.
Oh.
You never know. But yeah, as much as there were crazy NPCs running around Spillman, I loved your guys' characters so much. I would love to talk about them a little bit because they were so fucking fun for me.
Sure.
I want to start with Toast.
Ooh.
The moment that you tried to jump into the fucking mine sent me into because like I've thought about the mine a lot.
Uh-huh.
I didn't think that would be something explored in Witch in the Woods.
And then you gave me a map of the mine
that you didn't look at.
Uh-huh.
One, and that you just decided let's yeet into the maw of the earth. And
yeah,
I swear to Christ, Fabrice, I was like, you want to do what? Okay.
Yeah. It was worth it just for the look on your face then and also now.
And I think like there was reasoning behind that choice though, right? Like I think it was implied, but I don't think it ever came up. Like Toast's whole like thing.
Yeah. Toast's thing was that I was like an abandoned urban exploration person. I had my own YouTube channel. Like and subscribe. Smash that button. Be sure to hit the bell icon so that you didn't get the updates and the thing. You know, all that crap. And I didn't really get to do much of that because I had a big sister strapped to my ankle. Like a, what do you call it? Like one of those like...
Like a house arrest alarm?
Yeah, like one of them.
Who saved your life.
Yeah, I feel good about the choices that Spencer made.
No, yeah, you made good choices for Spencer, but they were hell for Toast. But yeah, that was kind of my thing. It didn't really come up. The other thing that didn't come up is, again, I did not lick or put anything in my mouth. And
oh,
I was
that's
supposed
right,
to do that.
Because I remember now. I gave you a question on your character sheet, like, what are you allergic to?
I'm deathly allergic to honey.
And
like
I really expected you to eat something at the wake that would have had honey in it, and it would have been like a whole thing, and that just never...
Like butter salad?
Butter salad might have honey in it. Also, Jacob, fuck you. Like
that was like the strongest bit of world building that occurred.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And it was 100% like I was trying to do the Donna voice, which I regretted immediately.
No, it was beautiful.
And I was just saying shit and panicking. And I said some fucking bullshit that didn't make sense. I'm like, oh, it's fine. No one will notice that I said butter and salad in a word. And then Jacob's like, oh, mom.
See, now I also heard it and I was waiting to bring it up. And I'm just happy that Jacob brought it up first.
I missed it entirely.
Yeah. I was like, all right, so I'm going to wait until there's a dead person and people are sad. And I'm going to be like, hey, how about that butter salad? It slaps.
Oh, my God.
I did think about, should I resurrect Christine's kitchen and make butter salad?
Oh, God.
What would it have been?
I think that the logical choice is butter lettuce.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Boring.
Yeah. There's probably some Midwest ambrosia,
certainly
Waldorf salad monstrosity that involves like dried coconut and like something
marshmallows.
Terrible. And frankly, I just figured that I've put you all through enough, so
I appreciate that.
Didn't need to do that.
From the bottom of my heart, I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Also, I was way too busy to.
That's valid.
I fucking feel that. But the other thing about the butter salad thing that was really cool is that, Jacob, you got to play a character that had so much agency in the world because it's like, hey, you're from this place. So a lot of times you would say shit and I had to be like, yeah, okay. Like you had that incredible line about like, Principal Oakley, Mayor Oakley. And it was like, Yeah, she was the principal now. Excellent, great. Like, so what was that like playing a character with so much like gravitas in the setting?
It was weird. Kind of didn't like it. It was no. It was a lot of pressure. I don't know. It was good. It was a good growing experience for me learning how to do this.
I think you fucking killed it.
A lot. The principal mayor thing in particular, I remember being like, that seems weird. No, that's what you're supposed to do. And then just like spitting it out and like, I guess this is what you do, right? And then
yeah,
I guess it worked out.
Yeah,
I thought you nailed it.
And that's like the pinnacle of improv, right? Is that like you throw something out and trust that we've got you, and we do. And so yeah, that was super fun and you did great.
Yes. And there were a couple other moments, I can't remember like a specific example, where like you would say something or interact with a character in a way that just added so much depth to the setting based on your place in it. And yeah, your instincts were just really great. And it was really fun for me to just throw a bunch of bonker shit at you and see what you did with it. Also, sorry you died.
Hey. Yeah, he kind of deserved it.
Did he?
I mean, we're not. I think it wasn't hinted that he could still be alive.
I mean, he fell. He was dragged by a bunch of spiders down into a mine shaft.
Into hell.
What a way to go.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a superhero now.
No, I think you're probably just dead.
Thwick.
Exactly.
Certainly was removed from the game. But I think it was kind of interesting that we got to see two varieties of removed from the game. One of the immediate, like, the tower falls, you get dragged into a pit, go fuck yourself. And then we had...
Wow.
We had Spencer's more, like, slow burn of, like, she was doomed and then kind of had that, like, aggro conversation with Eloise and then was finally puppeted by her, which, like... Christine, you handled beautifully.
Thank you. That aggro conversation in particular was really fun to play. That was just fun to banter back and forth with you as Eloise.
Which is interesting because Eloise is not voiced by me.
She is not.
But we'll put a pin in that and come back to that later.
Yes.
But I want to talk about Spencer for a second, if that's okay.
Yeah.
And Mayor Oakley. But Spencer first. What was it like playing a beautiful bug lady?
I loved Spencer. Spencer was really fun to play. I definitely like really tapped back into college Christine in the like, I'm science girl and I'm all about this. Like, also I fell fucking down the rabbit hole with these moths and I had so much fun.
Oh my God, you did such a good job. And like the moths are coming back.
They are coming back. And like that was really rewarding for me to like, I hate moths in real life. I think they're so freaky. I don't want them near me.
They really? Always fly towards your eyes.
Fuck that. What?
Because they see like light reflecting in them. And so they.
I hate that, actually. I hate that.
Well, I just scared my friends in real life. Oops. Would it make you feel.
I hate them so much. And the thing is, I like butterflies, but moths have those antennae.
They're different. They're
that
different.
Just like freak me out, especially like the really big ones. I think when I was a child, my family went on this like camping trip and we were staying in a cabin and we had a light on the porch.
Oh no.
And a gigantic moth was like flying towards the light and it was big enough that it was like tapping on the glass of the door.
Oh fuck.
And like it looked like a bird. And
oh my God.
I was a young child and that freaked me out. And I think that might be where that fear started. So like the process of building the Spillman moth was a lot of me like Googling things and being like, I don't want to look at it.
Image off. Just text.
Yeah, but like I went real down the rabbit hole of the what's that called when it's like the genus species? What's that?
Oh,
called?
The not taxonomy, but
yeah, the taxonomy. You're right.
Oh, yes.
I got real deep into the taxonomy of moths, and I actually like researched the like Actius is a real genus of moth that is like the moon moths, the lunar moths.
So cool.
And so Spillman obviously is our made up place, but I wanted to place it in reality of some sort and give it real features. The only thing that wouldn't have been realistic would be the bioluminescence.
Right.
But like I did research the chemistry behind bioluminescence. Which was fascinating for me personally to learn about. I'm a freaking chemistry nerd. I loved my chemistry classes so much. I still remember a lot of it, and I took it in high school.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So yeah, I just like, I really, really enjoyed getting to like absolutely nerd out. And I think that process of building that in such a nerdy, scholarly way helped me tap into who Spencer is.
Yes. And it also made my job a lot easier when it came to building a spider predator for them. which, side note, unrelated, since we have recorded Witch in the Woods, I have seen so many fucking
spiders
in real life.
Eloise is everywhere.
Everywhere. I always like, hi, Eloise. Like, there's one that hangs out, like, it makes a web between Fob's, like, window on his car and like the door, and I'm like, oh, hello, nice to see you again. Like, it's so fucking wild. You're all gonna see spiders now. I fucking know it.
I legitimately traveled to California and we got to the house where we were staying, and I got up to my room and the first thing I see is a giant ass spider web right outside my bedroom window, and I'm like, there she is. We had just gotten finished recording. Yeah, she's everywhere.
Was excellent. Spencer was doomed. Was removed indeed, from the game. Indeed. And then let's talk briefly about how we fucking resolved that, because that was not something we planned for.
No, it was not. But I love where it landed. And I will say, I was mad
at first.
Not at you, but just I was mad when Spencer first, like when I knocked the tower over, I was really upset.
And it was such like an RPG bullshit thing of like, those were pulls that I was like, okay, like beginning of the episode, let's get things tense. I'm like, oh shit, we're doing this now?
Things got very tense.
Yeah, I was just mad and I was like, yeah, season two, I'm not going to die as much as I did in season one. So I was initially pretty upset about it.
Yeah.
I was surprised it was you. Because I was trying to die as Toast.
You were?
My nickname was Toast.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I was like, yeah, it's Toast because I am. And it's
that's good.
And
that's
it just didn't happen.
Well, I mean, Toast might die later.
That's
true. We don't know how the story ends.
We don't know how the story ends.
But so then to be able to come back as another character, as we figured out that I was going to play Mayor Oakley, once we got into it, I was like, oh, this is fucking fun, and I'm so glad that I like got to jump into this role.
You did such a good job. And like thematically, I really liked how it was like a character who is reclaiming agency and like going up against this person who has puppeted her, and in such a fun, like, ridiculous way.
Yes. I loved being able to be like super melodramatic political yes. woman.
How about the mayor of Spelden?
So good.
You set me up well.
Thank you. The other option that we talked about very briefly and considered was Dr. Meredith.
Yes.
Which would have been challenging for the reason that she wouldn't have been able to leave the church.
She would not have been physically present.
I think we talked about how like the other characters would carry around like an iPad and she'd be like FaceTiming in.
Yeah, we'd carry around a tablet and we'd be like, all right, Meredith, what do we do now? And it'd be like, hold me up to the
thing. Point me down. I can't see.
Yeah.
Wait, turn me sideways.
Which Meredith is another NPC that was just made me chuckle.
She was funny. Okay, I think I messed up her name. Her name is Meredith.
Maribeth. We just all call her Meredith.
Well, Maribeth? I called her 8 different things.
Oh, okay.
I thought you called her 2.
No, I did. It was either
Meredith.
Meredith is what the town calls her. And then alternately, I referred to her as Maribeth or Meredith. And I like to think that she just forgets what her name is because she just goes by Meredith. And it's fine.
I'm curious if now that the world has gone to hell, if she will have a moment of courage and step outside the salt circle.
Well, that's the thing.
No, the salt circle's the only thing keeping her going. She's
well, yeah. Oh, maybe she's safe within there.
This is her I told you so moment.
Yes,
yeah.
This is her like, she's like,
now she ain't going nowhere.
Y'all thought I was crazy, but look now. It's, I don't know why I'm doing Donna's voice, but it's like, y'all thought I was crazy, but look now, I'm the only one that's okay.
Well, that's the thing though, right? Is like, if we see Spillman in like the early 2000s when she's in her heyday, maybe she is outside the church. Maybe she's legitimately trapped there. Maybe she's agoraphobic. I don't know. That's something we can figure out if we want to as the season goes on. So,
or that's something we've already figured out.
Ooh.
You, as the listener,
you don't
just
know
do not
what
know.
We're up to.
Shit, man.
So anyway.
That was maybe too aggressive, and I'm sorry. I love you.
Is the hospital attached to the church?
Yes.
Okay, I do have a question about St. Felix. Yeah. There's a point in, I think, the first episode where we arrive in the town square.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, like, an earthquake happens?
Yes.
Kind of.
And so, the bells go off?
Yes.
What is happening there? I think I missed something.
the bells thing was supposed to be like a fun goof that would then set up when they go off when things break bad.
Okay.
Oh, it's not 4:07 p.m. This is bad.
Okay.
The tremor thing was, I was trying to hint at something is not right in town outside of just what is going on with the witch and that tremor and like the things with the earth being unsteady and like the sentry tree, like roots pulsing, like those were all related and that was supposed to be like a something underground is weird.
Gotcha.
So it was little breadcrumbs that hopefully in the context of the season will make more sense.
Okay, cool.
But I do very briefly want to talk about Eloise for a second. Yeah. And I would love to shout out our incredible fucking voice actress. Yee. Oh my God.
Mallory.
You're very cool.
Yeah. Mallory Swisher is the voice of Eloise. She is a theater artist in the Chicago area who I had the delight of attending college with. So I've known her for a while. She is also... she and her husband and some of her friends, they make the Roll for Your Life podcast, which is a D&D actual play.
It's so fun.
It's hilarious. It's goofy. It's fun. They're great.
It's a great name.
It is
honestly.
A great name.
Like when I heard the name, I was like, oh, damn it. That's really good. Shit.
And Mallory just in general has such witchy vibes already.
In like the best way.
In the best way. Absolutely. So when we were brainstorming, do we want somebody else to voice Eloise? Who might we ask? She was the first name that came to mind, and we all were like, yes, absolutely. And she was real excited about it, too. So we're so excited
to have her. Fucking killed it.
Yeah.
But the thought behind the Eloise voice is that as a sound design aspect of it, is that I wanted the witch to be something very otherworldly, something very uncanny, and I thought, what better way to convey that than for everyone to hear a voice that is not the core four cast? So like immediately it's distinct, it's unsettling, and something that I think is just very interesting and very cool. And she's an incredible actress and just fucking knocks it out of the park. So I'm like, excellent, perfect, spectacular. I guess like practically, Eloise, I imagine, is going to have a recurring role in the season. So especially as we switch off DMs, it's a lot more cohesive to have a unified voice and we're not all trying to do the same voice as each other.
Yeah.
So thanks, Mallory.
Yeah, thank you, Mallory. You're
we
so
appreciate
cool.
You.
And there will be more of her.
I think we've seen the last of the witch. I don't think she's going to come up in any of the other episodes.
That's what you think, you feeble-minded child.
It's true. I'm just toast.
Who's
I'm
that?
Just a little guy.
I don't know.
Oh, hey, you know that thing we do where we play things we cut out of it? We're doing that now.
Oh, yeah, but this is things Christine's cut out of the podcast to make sure everyone wants to know.
Because we're all editing now.
Yes. What bits have you brought today?
So this one is, full disclosure, we use a virtual tower.
Yes.
And there was one point when... there was a miscommunication from Marissa to Jacob about how many pulls were required. And so Jacob was pulling twice when he only needed to do one. And the second time would have doomed him.
Yep.
And Marissa was not prepared for it. And so roll the clip.
Okay, perfect. Jonathan, make me another pull to one dodge and also grab a cool stick. Mayor Oakley and
Easy.
Toast, while Jonathan is doing this, what would you like to do?
I would like to run at the...
Oh,
No!
What is that noise?
No. You're shitting me. You're shitting me.
No, it happened. It was my second one.
Oh, no. Wait, didn't you only have to pull once?
You only had to pull one.
Yes, Jacob, I had
one.
Your back.
I thought it was
one to dodge. For two things. You only had to pull one. You're fine.
Okay.
You're fine. Undo that action. Back it up. Back it up. Beep, beep. Oh, my God. Okay.
Marissa, you're a delight.
And the great irony is, like, two pulls later,
literally
you did not get
pull.
Over. So it's like, oh, well.
Yeah.
So, oh, my God.
The funny thing for me about that is just that when Marissa kills one of us, she's like, oh no, oh no, oh God, I'm so sorry.
I feel bad.
When I do it, I'm like, yes, finally.
Yeah. I think Marissa gets more stressed out about anyone else pulling than anybody else,
that's
including when
true.
She DMs.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you for coming to the corner where we listen to things that were cut out of the podcast, but we wanted to keep in anyway.
Yay!
Yay! Yay!
I do have one question for Christine specifically.
Oh.
At one point I think it was episode 3, one of our spider facts, where it takes spiders a really long time to drown, and you were like, oh, I know that. How? Under what
Yeah, wait, Christine, were you just a kid one day and we're like, we're going to time it?
No!
No, this is actually a summer camp memory.
Oh!
I was at the pool at summer camp, and there were these, like, wolf spiders that live...
Callbacks.
Incredible.
That lived near the pool, like, near the filter and stuff, and one of my camp friends had one that was, like, on his flip-flop.
Oh,
and
no.
And he threw his flip-flop into the pool, and we were like, great, cool, the spider is gone. And it, like, sunk to the bottom and everything. We were in the deep end. And then at some point, someone was like, I'm gonna go get the spider. And he dove down to get it, and it bit him.
Oh, my God!
And this was like a couple minutes later, and we were like, what the heck?
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
So that's how I knew that it takes a long time to drown a spider.
That's fucked up. Did you save it?
Why would you save it? It bit a person.
I don't recall if we did or not. I'm sure we did.
Oh my God.
What?
It can take an hour or more for a spider to drown.
Oh. Fuck.
Thank you. Okay, I don't trust this fact anymore. It came from DollarShaveClub.com.
Incredible.
Why the fuck? I don't know.
You know what? It got you to their website.
It didn't get me to their website. It just got me to... It's just on the front page of Google when you look up...
Okay, but go to that page. Why does Dollar... Are they like...
It worked. It
here
worked.
Here are our top 10 spiders who we think need a razor. Number 3.
the wolf spider.
Awoo. Also, this motherfucker can last hella long underwater.
What happens to a spider when you wash them down the drain? Nothing good, apparently.
That's
incredible
marketing.
It's tangentially related to their thing, and it got you to their website. Good job, Dollar Shave Club marketing.
I need to rethink all of our
podcasts. This is content marketing.
Dollar Shave Club, you want to sponsor us? Yeah. We'll talk more about spiders. And
I will not shave, though. So,
but we will be talking more about spiders and lots of other spooky filming things in our next story. Who will be our next DM? Because it sure ain't going to be fucking me for a while.
It's going to be me.
Do you have any cryptic things you would like to tease?
All I will say is that I started building the world that we are about to venture into immediately after we finished recording Kalamazoo.
Holy shit.
So this sucker's been cooking for a while.
Oh my gosh.
And I have died many times between then and now.
No.
So I'm coming in hot and y'all better be ready.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. It takes place in a setting that is near and dear to my heart.
Still in Spillman though, yeah?
Yes, still in Spillman. Yeah, I'm really stoked to see where it goes and how you all fuck with all of my plans.
I'm so excited.
Christine.
I feel good about it.
Instantly.
Excellent.
The
great.
First, like, you're like, all right, we're going to start and they're going to go right. And I'm going to be like, left. But what if we went left?
What about down? Can we go down?
Oh.
What if we just go through?
What if we just rolled around on the floor the entire time?
My God, that would be a really fun episode.
So if you want to listen to that.
Now that we've instilled the fear of Jacob and Fob in Christine.
Yeah, honestly.
It was already there.
Fear me.
Gladly.
Hey! All this to say, season 2 is just getting started. It is a very ambitious season, but we're very excited, and we are very excited to, I said excited like 48 times. Anyway,
it's that, exciting.
Yes.
So.
We're excited.
It's going to be rad.
I'm excited.
Fuck you.
But are you excited though?
Yes. Okay.
Hey, here's a question.
Yeah.
Do we say our names at the beginning of the breakfast?
Oh, we didn't.
We didn't, but I also feel like...
Hello, welcome to the end. I've been Jacob the whole time.
Hey. The whole time I have been Fob.
The whole time I have been Christine.
I think I've been Marissa, but I'm also still recovering from a cold, so things have been a little wonky in my brain.
The whole time Marissa. She's been sick Marissa.
Ice Marissa.
Sick Marissa is like regular Marissa, but she wears her hat at a 45 degree angle.
And she's very excited.
Yes.
Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll see you all dreadfully soon.
Bye!
Ow!
I don't think we can do that.
Yes, we can.
This episode of Dread and Breakfast sponsored by any reputable company for creating a nice product that would like to give us some money.
Your ad could go here.
Maybe.
It's me, and I'm recording these way after we did breakfast, so I am no longer sick Marissa. I am sleepy Marissa. I just wanted to pop in here and thank you again so much for listening to Dread and Breakfast and for listening to our first story of season 2. Holy shit. I would like to thank Eli Schneider for composing our breakfast theme song. You can find more of his work and all of our other sound credits, content warnings, and maybe a surprise or two in our episode description, along with all of the links to our social medias. Follow us and leave us a penguin emoji in the comments. That's not confusing at all, but I'll know and you'll know, and that's kind of fun. We are hard at work getting our next story ready for your ears, so keep an eye on our socials for information about when that will be coming. And oh my gosh, I am so excited for you all to hear it. Christine absolutely did a phenomenal job. When I tell you that I have not laughed that hard during a recording, I think I cried at one point. It is just, it's just... And in the meantime, while you're waiting for that story, we would really appreciate it if you could tell a friend about our show. I know we say it all the time, but it really does help us grow, and it really, really does mean the world to us. Anyway, stay spooky. And we'll see you soon.